Okay, we are completing Siman Tov Samach Zayin tonight, and then Samach Vav tonight, and then following on to Siman Tov Samach Zayin. So we're going to be learning Bezer Hashem the last Seif of Siman Tov Samach Vav, and then continue on. Right, what is that all about? Elik. Siman Tov Samach Vav, Seif Vav. Siman Tov Samach Vav, Seif Vav, discusses the halacha of a leak, a water leak going onto a bag of flour. So the halacha is as follows. Kemach Shenofal Olav Delef. If you've got flour and there is a delef, a leak dripping onto this bag of flour, Afilu Kol Hayom, even throughout the entire day, a non-stop leak dripping onto the bag of flour, Einoi ba lidei chemutz, it will not be considered chemutz. Surprisingly, vahu shiadelef, this is as long as the leak toireit beli hefsek, continues dripping without interruption, veyev nu miyat kshei posek, and you take it away straight away once it stops. The leak itself is the reason why it's fine, because it's working. We have learned previously that whenever there's pressure and there's work going on to the dough, then it's not considered, it cannot go into chemutz, it cannot become chametzdik. So here also, the fermentation process is disabled because since the leak is ongoing and non-stop, it's as if there is actually work taking place there. It's as if there's asek. The pressure prevents it. The pressure from the leak prevents it of becoming chametz. That is, as long as the leak is continuous and non-stop, shadelef toiret b'li hafsek, v'yefnu miyad, and you take it away, k'sheyposek, when the leak, however, stops, you must remove it. V'imu mesupok, if you're in doubt, im adelef toiret im lav, if you're in doubt as to whether the leak is continuous or not, also then it's also, because it will be at the end of the day, it's still a sofek deraisa, which we have to avoid. But this is the point over here, that as long as you have got certainty that the leak is non-stop and is continuous, you can assume this is considered asek. The pressure prevents it from becoming chometz, and therefore it remains mutter. Siman Tov Samach Zayin. Tinchitim shenofal alei mayim v'tavshel shenimtzo lezoicho chito. This is the halachas of grain, which various halachas of grain. So halachas as follows. Dogon, if you've got grain, this is actual grain. We're not talking about flour now, we're talking about grain. Dogon shenit babeno. You've got grain which drowned in a river. You've got a bag of grain, it ends up in a river drowning. Or shenofal omayim, or there's water going onto this grain, kashem she'osu le'ochlo, just like it's also because the grain got wet, it's engulfed in water, it's drowning in water, so we're assuming that it's become chametz. Again, it's grain, not flour, but nevertheless, we still think it's probably gone into chametz. Kashem she'osu le'ochlo, just like you're not allowed to eat it, kach osu le'kaimoy. Similarly, also, you're not allowed to keep it. So it really goes into the category of bali roe. What are you going to do with it? Hello, moichu le'Yisrael, you're selling it to another yid. U'moidiyoy, k'dei she'echlinu k'odim ha'pesach. And you tell this yid, listen, I sold you something which is questionable. You better eat it before Pesach. Right. He could have eaten it before Pesach, and so another, his friend can also eat it before Pesach. That's fine. What if you sell it to a goy? Koydim ha-Pesach before Pesach. You also have to ensure, and this is really important, we're going to see something this is relevant for us. Moicha me'at lekol echot ve'echot. You have to sell only small amounts of this flour to every single goy. Kedei she'yichle, in order it should be finished and completed, ended, Koydim Pesach before Pesach. Why? Why do you have to ensure, if you sell to the goy, you've got these bags of grain which may have become chametz, you can sell it to a guy only with the condition that you sell small amounts, thereby ensuring that it's all finished before Pesach. Why? You're selling it to the guy. You're selling it to the guy. So why do you have to ensure that it's small amounts, that every guy eats a bit? Why? Because perhaps the goy is going to continue selling it on, Israel is going to sell it to a fellow, to another yid. So we are concerned. Here's a fascinating chashash, and this is relevant for us. There's a chashash that if I sell bags of grain which may be chametz, which are categorized as chametz, if I sell it to the goy, I can only sell small amounts that is reasonable, and I can assume that it's going to be eaten and finished before Pesach. Why? Because if I sell a big amount, perhaps he's going to carry on selling it. He's going to sell it to Yid, who it looks like it's just grain, but really it's turned into chametz. So the Yid is going to perhaps end up buying something from this guy, which is chametz. So therefore, you may only sell small amounts. Now, this is interesting, because it basically tells us that when it comes to flour, you have to ensure that you sell small amounts that can be realistically eaten before Pesach. What happens if we don't do that? What happens if we sell a big amount? If this yeet has got this chametz grain and he sells it on in a big amount and he sells it to the goy, what could be happening? We are saying now what could happen is that he sells it on to another yid, and that yid will use it on Pesach. Well, how likely is this chashash? I'm saying, could this chashash even happen? Could a yid buy off a goy flour which is going to end up using on Pesach? Could that happen at all?
Not be
shmura. Very good. Worse than that, you're right, but it's even worse than that, that the halacha is that we don't use flour. The minhag is, and the Mishnah points out in the first wide line, in page 138, first wide line, Ochein, leminogeinu, according to our minhag, she'ein loikhin kemach lapesach min hashuk, nobody buys random flour from, we don't use Tesco's flour for our matzahs. Nobody does that. We don't use random flour on Pesach. We used only kosher le-Pesach shmura flour. So there's no way this could happen. Us, that we don't use kemach flour min hashuk from some random places. So therefore, it is impossible that the goy who has purchased this chametz stick flour, it's impossible he's going to sell it on to a yid. It's not possible. Therefore, metzadrim kama achoinim, as many achoinim are allowing lekel they hold that lekel mechas, you don't have to worry about it. Therefore, there's plenty of reason to be lenient. When the Iron Curtain was still down in Russia, that's what people did. They did buy random flour and they made matzahs out of that because there was no other possibilities. And there was other in the communist area and the communist regime, this was quite common. And in other very difficult circumstances and situations, that's what you need. But nowadays, nobody is going to buy a bag of flour and is going to use it for his matzahs. Furthermore, there's an additional element as well. I think we may have mentioned the kemach, the flour, which is nowadays sold commonly. It's not pure flour. We know that the flour that we use that is sold nowadays. The flour has actually been bleached. It's gone through a bleaching process. Therefore, since the flour has been bleached, It's actually not just a slight problem to use for the matzah, but in fact, it's chometz komo. We've spoken previously about it. I think it was a while ago. To sell flour is actually those yidden who have a minik not to sell chometz komo. They should not sell bags of flowers, because bags of flowers nowadays are bleached and they are chometz komo. So therefore, it's impossible that the kemach min hashuk should be utilized for matzahs. Consequently, what does that mean for our sif over here? It just tells us that halacha is that if somebody actually has a lot of flour which he wants to sell, he doesn't need to be careful to only sell small amounts of flour to the goy, because perhaps he's going to end up going back to the yid's hands. You don't have to worry about it, because there's no chashash. No yid is going to buy such flour. On the contrary, it's safe to assume the goy is going to keep it, and it's not going to end up in the yid's hands. And therefore, consequently, we can sell large amounts of flour to the goy. Okay, sif beis. Dogon ze shenit babeno. This grain which has fallen into the river, or water has fallen onto this grain, although it didn't open up, the grain itself didn't open, it didn't break, it didn't open up. Also, you're not allowed to use it. It's considered chametz. They came on the minach, since we left the site. We assumed it's become chametz. We assume that it's become chametz. Lochein, and therefore, consequently, since we assume, as a predisposition, we assume that any grain which has got wet, we assume that it's become chametz. Consequently, it only makes sense and it's logical that any grain which is left to the side to be made matzahs out of that, those grain, we have to be very, very careful that they are protected and they are safe from any water or from rain. We have to make sure that any grain which is going to be used for matzahs are completely dry, because even if there's no signs whatsoever of them having become chametz, nevertheless, we assume it's become chametz. Are you going to say they don't look like they've opened up and become chametz? The answer is it doesn't matter. You can't use it. Similarly, also grain which has been kept in the attic, if you've got grain which was left in the attic and some rain fell in through the roof, in some of the places, and it got wet and moist, those bags of grain which got wet, they are also, but the other places within that mutter is mutter la shoysim with the sfek sfeker, because of a sfek sfeker shemol yodu aleim kshomim, perhaps there's no rain on it. So if you don't know for sure that rain is coming, if for sure you saw rain in that bag, so that grain becomes awesome. If you have no evidence whatsoever of grain going into that particular bag, then it's going to be mutter because of a sfek sfeker. Why is it a sfek sfeker? Why is it a double sfek? Shemol yodu kshomim aleim, perhaps there's no rain that actually fell on this particular bag, is actually dry, never got wet. And even if you're going to say yes, maybe there was rain going into that bag, Shemalon is chametz, maybe it didn't become chametz. That rain didn't actually make it into chametz. So it's a sfek sfek, and therefore it's permitted. Also, but to eat it on Pesach remains also v'loimahani sof sfek sfek, and we don't say sfek sfek. We have mentioned a couple of days ago, the Beis Meir, that anything which is a sfek sfek, we don't use for Leila Seda, and that's obviously the halacha here too. Anything which is fake, we don't, is actually, it cannot be qualified as a shmura. So here again, if you've got something in the attic and you know it did rain, but you don't know for sure it rained in that particular bag, that bag of grain is multiple because of sfek sfeika. Perhaps it did rain, perhaps it didn't rain. Sfek one, sfek two. Even if it did rain, perhaps it didn't actually make it to go into chametz. Therefore, it's a sfek sfeika, and therefore it's permitted. Okay, Siv Gimel, Chitim Shebo B'Sfin. What if it's in a boat? If there was grain imported, and the grain ended up in a boat, that was imported through a shipment, Imem Yeveshois V'Koshois. If the grain is appearing to be completely dry, V'Koshois hard, and rock solid, and their looks, their appearance has not changed at all, then we don't assume that any issa has, there's no reason to assume it's become chametz. So if I know there's something fishy here, it looks a bit odd, it looks a bit bizarre, or it looks a bit soft, then it's got a issa, and then perhaps it's got to become chametz. So fine, so I have to, I can't use it. But if it's solid and hard, and there's no reason to assume it's gone wet. So despite the fact that it came through a shipment, and it was in a boat, and it was in close proximity to water, nevertheless, I don't say it's got wet, I don't have to assume that there's any problems, and I can use it, and it's perfectly in order. The Mishnah was a bit worried about that, and Sifkot Yudalet, he says, well, it depends a bit what kind of boat it is. Mishnah Berurah wants to say that's only in a boat or in a ship that has cabins and that the compartments are quite safe from any water coming in. He says if it's open air, like a rowing boat or any boats which there's no compartments, then he says those boats, it's just too likely that it got wet. It's impossible to completely keep it away from the water. He says it's just impossible, and therefore he says that if there's no compartments, no cabins, then you can't use it. But otherwise, if it's a kind of a boat that has some safety measures and you can assume that it's gone, it traveled without getting wet, then if it looks fine, then it is fine. Save Dalet. Shonu Shirabuk Shomim. What happens if there was lots of rain? There was a lot of rain. One particularly, there was a lot of rain. And the rain fell onto the heaps of Shebesodois in the fields. And some of the grain had actually some tzmachim, something grew out of it. Because of the huge amount of rain, tzmachim, some flowers grew out of this.
It doesn't mean that anything is going to be also. As the Mishmur explains,
as long as you don't see any chimutz, I appreciate there's lots of rain. And it's understandable that lots of rain is going to make it more of a problem. But you've got to be piles of grain. Piles and piles of grain. As long as you don't see any particular signs of chimutz, there specifically, then it's fine. You go according to the majority, and you cannot say that the majority of this has become chametz. Yes, you do have some evidence of some of it have become chametz due to the abundance of rain, admittedly, but it doesn't mean that you have to forbid everything and assume everything is gone chametz. And even within those piles that we saw, even if you saw there was rain going in there, we are lenient, maybe there was just rain going into one specific location, on the outer, higher areas of the pile, avoloi beveten arema, but not within the midst of this pile. So, even if it did enter, maybe it didn't actually become chametz to the minute amount of water which actually reached it. So he says that, nevertheless, if he sees within the grain which is brought before him, that there is clear evidence that there is some flowers growing out of it, which is evidence that it's gone wet, then the mechaber is also agreeing that you have to check him, if they have 60 against it. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you have got a year that there is particular amount of rain that came, and due to the amount of rain there's actually flowers growing out of it, it shows that there was such rain that is from the actual piles of grain has some flowers growing out of it, which shows it got wet from the rain. So it doesn't mean that we have to forbid everything. We forbid where we see evidence of chametz, but even if the outer layer has simonim of chametz, it doesn't mean that within, inside of the midst, has become chametz, and you can be lenient. Okay, fine. So let us summarize what we learned this evening. We covered a lot of ground. We learned firstly that if there's a leak going onto a bag of flour, if it's constant, it doesn't become chametz because the pressure of the leak ensures it doesn't actually become chametz. As long as it's not interrupting. Once it interrupts, it becomes chametz. We learned about grain, actual grain, which falls into a river, or there's a lot of water ending up onto the grain. So then it's also, and it's actually also to keep as well. We learned that you cannot sell it to the goy. Shulchan Aruch says you cannot sell it to the goy if you've got a lot of wet grain, because he might sell it on afterwards to a yid. So you're only allowed to sell small amounts of grain to the goy, which is likely he's going to consume and use before Pesach. However, we learned nowadays, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that people don't buy flour and grain from a goy because people use only shmura, then therefore you don't have to worry about it. We then learned about the grain which got wet, even if there's no evidence of it become chametz, is nevertheless. Also, we learned that you have to ensure to use wheat, which has a grain which has at no point become wet. We learned that if you've kept your grain in the attic, and you know in the attic it was raining, nevertheless you don't have to answer everything, it's a sfex faker. Perhaps it got wet, perhaps it didn't get wet. Even if it did get wet, perhaps it didn't become chametz. We learned, see if Gimel tells us that shipments of wheat which was in a boat or in a ship, if it's dry and it appears to be fine, then you can use it with pleasure. If there's any evidence that it got wet, or it's not, or it's a bit soft or moist, then it's going to be also. We learned the Mishnah Berurah is unhappy if it's practically speaking an open air boat with no cabins, then you have to actually answer it even if there's no evidence. And then we learned about the year that it's got a lot of rain, and the rains also reached the piles in the fields, and there was even some flowers growing out of this. We don't have to forbid everything only where there's evidence of become chametz. Okay, that's what we covered this evening. We'll carry on tomorrow. See if, hey, good evening to all. Good evening.